You want that passage open in front of you. It's what page number is it? 969. We'll be looking at and other passages, some of which will appear on the screen anyway. Let's pray as we come to think about this passage, or this our theme for today, which is faithfulness. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it speaks to us today, and we pray that you would help us now. Help me to speak your word faithfully and honestly, and open our hearts to be honestly hear what you want to say to us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, our theme today is faithfulness, and I wonder what you think about when you think about faithfulness. What does faithfulness look like? Michael Hyatt is an American in leadership guru, and he tells a story of when he first started out in his career, quite early on in his career, and he got a job at a big publishing house in America. And it was a job in their marketing department. He was heading up their marketing department. And the boss that appointed him was very positive about him. You could see there's lots of talent and ability there. But actually, Michael had no experience of marketing. So this was a big risk to put him in charge of this department. And so the boss said to him, look, what I'll do is, because you've never done this before, we'll have a probation period for 3 months. If at the end of the probation period it's not working out, you really can't do the job, then we'll just say goodbye, you can go and look for another job, that's fine. But if by the end of the 3 months you've got to grips with the job and it's going really well, then I'll give you a 10% pay rise. And Michael agreed to that, and they went on, and he started the job, and he worked really hard at the job. He put everything into it. He read up about marketing in his spare time, and he did a fantastic job. He did really well, so much so that when it came to the end of the 3 months and he had to go and meet with his boss, he was really confident about this end of probation meeting. And so he came into his boss, and his boss said to him, as expected, well done, you've done really well. This has done a great job. I'm really pleased with you. It's really positive. But then his boss said, I've got a problem. The company have put a freeze on all wages. They won't pay your additional 10% that I promised to you. And Michael looked a bit downcast and upset. But then the boss did something amazing. He handed Michael an envelope. And he said, in that envelope is a check. It's a check from me for the extra 10% of your wages that I promised you. I made a promise, and I'm going to stick by it. That's an amazing story, isn't it? And it's an incredible story of what faithfulness really looks like. Making a promise and sticking to it, even when it costs, even when it hurts. Well, we're doing a series on fruit of the Spirit. If you've been coming for a while, you've heard all of them. If you've only come for a little bit, you may have not heard any. But we've been doing them in batches of three. We're talking about the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. And we've gone through quite a lot so far. So we've done love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, goodness. And we're about to do, over the next 3 weeks, the last three, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And today's theme is the seventh one. It is faithfulness. And faithfulness is obviously linked with faith. In fact, faithfulness and faith are two sides of the same coin. And of course, faith is incredibly important as Christians, isn't it? It's by faith we're saved. It's by trusting and believing what Jesus has done for us on the cross and his resurrection and ascension that we can be confident that we have eternal life, we're forgiven, and so on. But faith in something or someone requires faithfulness. So you only really want to have faith in someone who is faithful. You only want to trust someone who is trustworthy. You only want to rely on someone who is dependable. If you put your faith in someone who isn't faithful, you've probably been hurt quite badly. If you put your trust in someone who's not trustworthy, you'd have been stung. If you depended on someone who's not reliable, you'd have been let down. It's not a nice feeling when that happens. Faith and faithfulness are two sides of the same coin. But the great and wonderful thing is that God, our God, the God of Jesus Christ, is faithful. Actually, when you go through the New Testament, quite a lot of times it makes that statement, God is faithful. And because God is faithful, we can be confident that our faith is well placed. So we can be confident that God will protect us, because he says in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We can be confident that we do have hope because God is faithful. It says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. We can be confident that we have forgiveness of sins because God promised it and God is faithful. It says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do you see how crucial God's faithfulness is for our protection, for our hope, for our forgiveness, for our life? And actually, when you look at the whole Bible is a story based on God's faithfulness. It's a story which is driven by God making promises and then God keeping his promises, proving faithful to his promises. So we see that. Go right back to Abraham, the story of Abraham. Abraham is promised by God that God will make him into a great nation and through him all nations on earth will be blessed. And that begins to happen step by step over the next few books. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, over hundreds of years, nearly 1,000 years, God's promise gradually becomes truer, more and more fulfilled. God proves faithful to the promise he made to Abraham until the time of David, about 1,000 BC, Israel is a great nation. And then God makes a promise to David, and he says to David, look, David, I'm going to make sure that someone from your descendants will always be on the throne of my people. And so it proves over the next few hundred years, the next 400 years, there is always a descendant of David on the throne in Jerusalem. God proves faithful for those 400 years. But then Israel lose their king. Jerusalem becomes absorbed into wider empires of the time. Babylon, then the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans. But the prophets say God's promise will not fail. They look forward to a Messiah, an anointed one, a descendant of David who will rule. And so Jesus comes. And Jesus becomes the son of David, who doesn't rule just in Jerusalem, but rules at the right hand of God. And doesn't just become to make a great nation, but comes to bless all nations through his death and resurrection. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So you see, the whole Bible is a book that is talking about God's faithfulness. God makes promises and he keeps his promises. God is faithful. And as we think about the fruit of the Spirit, we're thinking about keeping in step with the Spirit. Do you remember that illustration where if you go on Strictly Come Dancing, you learn your dances by dancing with a pro. You learn the steps from them as you do a dance with them. You learn how to do the steps and become a good dancer. Or most people do. I'm not sure I would. But anyway, as Christians, as we have the Holy Spirit within us, we learn to walk in step with the Spirit. We learn to take on not a dance, but the characteristics of God himself. So if God is faithful, we too learn to be faithful. So what does that look like for us? What does our faithfulness look like? Firstly, it means that we are people that will be honest with the truth. The truth matters, doesn't it? Truth telling is really important. You can't make good decisions unless you have the facts, unless you have the truth. This is most powerfully shown in the court of law. Even in a court of law, the witnesses come and they tell lies, then the guilty may go free or the innocent may be condemned. It really matters that the witnesses tell the truth so that the right decision can be made. And actually, as Christians, we are people that are entrusted with a truth, the truth of the good news. Paul, often when he writes about the people that he's sending as messengers to the different places, in those days he didn't have WhatsApp and stuff, you had to send someone to take the message to another church. And when he describes those messengers, he almost always describes them as faithful. Because people need to know that they are trustworthy in passing on the message truthfully from Paul and ultimately from Jesus. And in 2 Timothy, he says to Timothy about choosing people to do that. He says, "And what you have heard from me through many witnesses, entrust to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well." In other words, we need to hand on the message to people who will faithfully hand it on to others, who will be true about it. Now, being honest with the truth sounds fine, it sounds easy in practice, but actually, it's not always that easy, is it? Sometimes it takes real courage. So if you're talking to someone about the truth of the good news, about the truth of what God teaches, maybe at work, maybe in the family, maybe you're teaching in a group or part of a group in church, or maybe you're up the front like me preaching. Sometimes there's things about the truth, things about what the Bible teaches that are hard for people to hear. People may not want to hear things, but they may need to hear things. And it takes courage, doesn't it, to tell people things they don't want to hear, but need to hear. It takes courage to be truthful with people, including sometimes being truthful about the gospel. Now, we need to be wise and we need to be gentle, and we'll talk about gentleness next week. You don't just go in and tell people the things that are really hard, it's going to break them. But there are times when we do need to speak the truth, and it can be hard, it can be tough, it takes courage. But faithfulness means we'll be honest with the truth. But secondly, faithfulness means being honest with promises. In our reading that George read to us a little while ago, Jesus is talking about people making promises, and people would make a promise with an oath. They'd swear by the temple or by their head or by something else. And Jesus says, "Why are you doing that? Why do you have to sort of back up your promise or your what you're saying with some extra thing to make it sound extra special? Actually, shouldn't your yes be yes and your no be no? Anything more," he says, "is from the evil one." Now, he's not saying that if you're asked to make something on an oath, like if you go to a court of law or something, you should refuse to do that. But what he is saying is that actually all that we say should be equally truthful, whether there's an oath involved or not. We should be people that can be trusted to speak the truth and can be trusted with the promises that we make. But again, that can take courage, can't it? Because sometimes we can be in situations where people are trying to make us make a promise that we know we can't keep. And sometimes it takes courage to say no to that. Maybe sometimes it's the vicar asking you to do something, but anyway. But actually it's right that we say no. It's right that we don't commit to things that we know we can't do. It takes courage to do that sometimes, because we want to please people. But we need to be honest. And also it takes wisdom, doesn't it? Because we need to know, actually, and be wise about what we are capable of doing. We all have a certain capacity, a certain amount that we can do. And for your life, that capacity will change as your health and your abilities change and your experience changes. And for your life, and different people have different capacities. Some will be able to do lots of things and others not much. But we need to be wise about what we're able to do at any particular moment, so that we don't make promises that we can't keep. We don't make commitments that we can't do. We need to be people that say what we will do, not what we can't do. We need to be honest with our promises. Because actually it's really important that we keep our promises, that we prove reliable. That's the third aspect of our faithfulness I want to talk about. We need to be reliable people. We need to do what we say we will do. And actually sometimes that requires sacrifice. We saw that in his illustration right at the start of the talk. But think about this. Maybe you remember being a child and being invited to a party, you know, your friend's party, and you say, "Oh yeah, I'll come to your party," and then you're invited to another party, and this other party is absolutely amazing. It's a fantastic party, but it's on the same date. Will you prove faithful to your promise, or will you go to the better party? Being faithful means sacrifice, but it also means proving yourself to be a reliable friend and a good friend. Or say you're trying to sell a house and you sell your house and you agree to a certain price and you agree to sell it to a certain person for that price, and then someone else comes along and offers you a better price. Do you remain faithful to the promise and lose out on the extra money? Or do you go for the better price and get a reputation for being unfaithful? Being faithful can take sacrifice, but it's worth it, because when we build up a reputation of being faithful, when our friends see that we're faithful, when other people see that we're faithful, then we become trusted. We build up trust within our community. We build up strength in our relationships and form greater and good relationships. We don't hurt people. And actually, as Christians, it means people will trust us even more when we tell them about the truth, about Jesus. They'll be more likely to respond to us, more likely to understand and take seriously what we're saying if we ourselves prove trustworthy and reliable. And this is also true in terms of being entrusted with roles, entrusted with jobs. Will we prove reliable and faithful in those jobs? At the end of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus gives a parable of the talents. You probably remember the parable. And he entrusts his servants with a certain amount of money to use. And it's a picture of God entrusting us with various gifts and resources to use them to build his kingdom. Will we prove faithful to that entrustment? At the end of the parable, he says to those that do prove faithful, he says this, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Faithfulness takes courage. Faithfulness can mean making sacrifices, but ultimately, faithfulness means finding happiness in relationships that matter. It means being entrusted with more, being respected to do more. Faithfulness is important. I want to finish just touching on marital faithfulness. It's the first part of our reading. In Jesus' time, a lot of people would quote that first verse that he quotes from Deuteronomy, which basically says, if you want to divorce, then give your wife a certificate and send her away. And a lot of people took that as saying, well, Moses is okay about divorce. If you get fed up with your wife, you know, maybe she burns the dinner too often, get rid of her, get a better one. Whatever, you know. That's what a lot of people were saying. And Jesus says, no, that's not God's plan. That's not what that verse is there for either. God's plan is that marriage is for life. It's a permanent union. Later on in Matthew 19, he speaks more about it. And he says this, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And again, being faithful within marriage is not always easy. It means putting up with your other half when they're annoying, which might be more often than not. It means sticking with them when things get tough because they're ill or made redundant or money's tight or whatever. It means resisting the temptation when someone more charming or attractive or both comes along and shows interest in you. Faithfulness is important for marriage to keep going. Faithfulness matters. But when you stick at marriage, then it proves a blessing in the longer term. Now, it's not to say that people don't get divorced, and even in that passage, Jesus says that there are reasons why people may end up divorced. The example he gives there is someone having an affair or committing adultery. And when marriages fail, then that's what the Deuteronomy 24 verse is there for. It gives some protection when marriages do fail, but that's not God's aim. And if you find yourself as someone who is divorced, and I know there's lots of people within our congregations that are divorced for all sorts of different reasons. Sometimes it's your fault, sometimes it's the other person's fault, and sometimes it's a mixture of both. But whatever it is, divorce is not the sin that separates you from God. God is gracious, God is loving, God accepts us despite our failings, including divorce. Yesterday someone asked to come and look into the church, with their grandmother, who was 90-something, who got married here in her 50s. And they wanted to come because they had just got married themselves. But their aunt was in the car and wouldn't come in because she was divorced and she got married here as well. And that was really sad. Divorce isn't something that puts you away from God. But actually, if you are divorced, then when you come to Jesus and you find a welcome in him, you find someone who is the ultimately faithful, loyal, trustworthy, loving and caring person. You find a relationship that will always be secure, despite the fact that you're annoying or mess up or whatever. God is faithful. God is true. The more we learn that, the more we can be faithful ourselves, the more we can build up and strengthen our relationships, whether it's marriage or friendships or church community or whatever else. And actually, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, all the fruits of the Spirit, although faithfulness is maybe the most obvious one connected with marriage, all the fruits of the Spirit will help make a flourishing and good marriage. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Aren't they all really important to help marriage flourish? I'm beginning to wonder whether actually I should do a marriage course based on the fruits of the Spirit. But it's also true for all our relationships as well, for our friendships, for our church life, for our community. These things matter. Faithfulness matters because God is faithful. And our church community should reflect that in the way we relate to each other, the way we're faithful to each other. That we can be honest about the truth. That we can be honestly make promises we know we can keep. And that we'll keep those promises, even when it costs us, even when it's a sacrifice. Because ultimately, God is faithful. At the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, there's a vision of Jesus coming out of heaven to bring the ultimate victory. And he's riding on a white horse. And it says this, "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you that you can be trusted. Help us to hold on to that faith in you more and more. But help us also to take on that faithfulness for ourselves, that we may be a faithful people, that we may be a trustworthy people, that we may be a dependable people, and so bring glory to you and strengthen all our relationships. In your name I pray. Amen.